different strokes. But let me tell you about one thing I know. Everybody's got a seed to sow. Let your heart of hearts take you down the road. Everybody's got a seed to sow.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the WPTF Weekend Gardener. Where are we? It looks like the farmer's market. By golly, I think it is. My car just drives you wherever you want to go, and they're one of those. And so that it led me here. I'm thankful. Good to see all of you. Brother Rufus.
Good morning, Brother Michael.
You didn't have to drive too far.
I could walk if I tried hard enough.
No, that's too dangerous. It's too dangerous, all that traffic.
My car does know the farmer's market because I come here to get my peaches every week. Going to do that again today.
Yeah.
And we have a couple goodies today for people. I want to tell them early.
Sure do.
We had one that gave Brother Jeff a viburnum, but we got one little pitiful Rosa Sharon, and then a...
Jeff will take that to his mama.
Hibiscus. Is that a hibiscus?
It is.
Mallow.
Yeah.
That's going back to Caldwell, Mom, if you're listening.
Yeah. Caldwell.
And
the center of the universe.
And Russell. Yeah. And Russell.
And Hall. Russell.
Now, we have something else that I may force off on somebody if they come early enough. I scrounged through my belongings this weekend, and I found, among other things, a recipe from Rufus.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
How nice. That is from your 84 gubernatorial campaign.
That's right. And has all the recipes to my family there, Amanda.
Oh, I want to check that out.
You know, yeah. This week, I've been writing a article every week, and they put a lot of them in the magazines, but they're going to go on websites and stuff, and this week I've been writing on persimmons.
Oh, my.
Because they're so interesting, and I was looking for a persimmon pudding recipe, and I couldn't find one in your I went there first.
Oh, my.
But I got one from 1978 Ask Your Neighbor cookbook. A lady in Durham had one. It was pretty easy. So I put that in there. But, you know, persimmons are good luck. And, you know, we have a lot of Asian people around us here. They would know that because in Japan and Korea and a lot of places like that, it's really good luck, you know, persimmons.
Oh, I love persimmon.
Unless
pudding.
You bite into one that grows native here.
Well, don't try them before they get ready.
Yeah, there's one in our parking lot, at least one, that's gotten pretty big, and it's dropping fruit. It's got some green on it, but it's dropping some fruit now.
Good. Well, we got that cookbook, and then I scrounged up another. I have a few left of That's Rufus. I won't charge anybody.
Wow, get an autograph, too.
A memoir of Tar Heel politics, Watergate, and public
life. How generous of you. How nice.
I decided to be a giver today.
Yeah.
And Amanda, we'll find you a cookbook before I leave in the back of my car.
Please do. That is fascinating. I love that.
Oh, John?
My gracious.
John, good morning.
Oh, good gracious alive.
Yeah, well, come here, John. John, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. I wanted to let you know all the plant vendors are still out here at the Raleigh Farmers Market.
Is that on? Yeah, let me see. Yeah, it's on. Yeah. I don't hear you, John.
Okay.
I got you. I got a little bit of you now. I can hear you.
All right. Well, I wanted to let you guys know all the plant vendors are still out here at the Raleigh State Farmers Market. There's plenty of color, plenty of nice.
They want to keep eating steak.
No, we've been eating a lot of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
I thought that was during the winter.
Drought, but now it's rained and there's no excuse.
That's my mic, Jeff.
They don't want to hear me that. A lot of perennial hibiscus, a lot of fall shrub guys have started to return. A lot of the tropical plants for the kids in the university come back in. Right. They're all here. Great bargains. Beautiful plants, great prices.
I would say
come
so.
On down.
Yeah.
Well, John, I see right there. What is that little red flower you brought there?
So that one is a little bat-faced kufia. It's like a Mexican heather, and it actually in our climate here comes back pretty good every year.
Are they sort of iffy though?
No, they come back rock solid. Okay. We have them even in raised planters. They come back every year.
So you full sun for all of these plants?
Like sun. I have some eucalyptus in the van here, and some Mexican sages are now starting to bloom. And then still perennial hibiscus are working on their second set of buds to rebloom again. So I have some of them.
There aren't as many plant vendors down here right now. I guess it won't be long before pumpkins come.
Pumpkins will be a little bit. Next week, there'll be more plant vendors coming in.
Oh, good.
Start to come in with fall cool vegetables.
Oh, good, good,
and
good.
I guess it won't be too much longer, a couple of weeks, that the pansies and the mum guys will start to come.
How can we find you, John?
I'm in space number 63, 65, and 67 every day, 9 to 4:30-ish.
And your name of your company?
Yes.
Long Hill Nursery.
Long Hill Nursery.
Long Hill Nursery. Lots of beautiful plants down here, guys. Great prices. Come
go
on
look
down.
For John. He's got a white mustache.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
That's for the good-looking guy.
Yeller mustache.
And he's got that Glenn plaid.
That's right. It's a Madras shirt.
A Madras, what we used to wear at Carolina when I was there.
That's right.
Madras was the rage, John.
Pink. For pink.
Yeah.
And a white mustache.
Whatever Belk's has on sale.
I want to go get
one. All right, Big John. Thank you, buddy. You're always so nice. Come out and visit us and bring things. How about that?
Yeah.
Bat face. I hadn't heard of that.
It's related to crepe myrtles.
So
same family.
Related to crepe myrtles.
Same plant family.
Lithraceae. Oh, John, that's the sage and.
Oh, man.
Hibiscus? Oh, my gosh.
Salvia lucantha.
Yeah.
A great one.
Oh, boy.
Does that sage have fragrance?
No, just beautiful.
It is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's purple.
And it will spread.
All right, John, don't break your neck. You're walking mighty fast.
Mine spreads. Sage.
Everything in your yard spreads.
It certainly does.
That Lucantha does?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. I'm amazed.
Huh.
They must have runners I didn't know about.
Rufus believes not only in things that spread, but also invasive plants.
Oh, God. But John doesn't sell invasive plants.
No, he just sells beautiful plants.
Huh.
Good gracious, John. We look like plant vendors here ourselves. Worst problem. Oh, thank you so much, John. Long Hill Nursery. Go see John today. Thank you, buddy.
That is so generous of the man.
All right. We need to get John a steak. He doesn't need to be eating
peanut butter
sandwiches, although I eat one every day. good nine. No. I eat nine grain bread.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can name all the grains, but nine grain bread and some peanut butter on it. Good protein.
Do you pack that?
I do. I make it every evening before that. Boil a couple of eggs, and that's
really?
My breakfast. A little yogurt. That's what I eat during my 8 hours there at PTF.
Wow. So that's what time do you eat that?
Around 7 o'clock. I'm busting a gut to get to the eggs because I need protein. Because you hit the door running.
Yeah,
there
you certainly do.
And then I don't know about 10, 11 o'clock, maybe 10, 11 o'clock, maybe. I don't know. It just depends on the day.
That's about three quarters through your day, right there. About 10 o'clock.
Yeah. I know. And my stomach is still growling, but
it's a different life. It's a different life when you're working.
It is. It does. It never. It never gets easy, and it never, you never get used to it.
Well, I was taking a shower about 6:30 on Friday morning, NCN News.
There we go.
Yep, that's how I get my mic really fixed.
Thank you. Good gracious.
Life 103.
I'm overwhelmed.
In Sanford.
Good. There's some good people down there. That nice man, I should know his name down there. Robin. Is that the station that Big John is on? Big John Ruth.
I don't
on
know.
On Sunday afternoons.
It's hard to say.
You don't like Beats music?
I do. Well, maybe that's what it is then, because I just have it on in the car.
He's only on Sunday afternoons.
Yeah.
But I think they're at Tramway, aren't they? Isn't that station at Tramway?
They're in downtown Sanford. They're in the old business college
building. Oh, okay. All right. All right.
I have a Friday spot on there. Life in our gardens.
Oh, but I'll tell you, that is, you know, that so many of the folks, Tony Avent used to be on our Ask Your Neighbor program.
Oh.
And really, and of course we had John Harris for all those years on Saturday, but Irv would be on once a month, sometimes in the early 80s. And I was doing Ask Your Neighbor then, and I had started by then. And then, Irv Evans and Tony, one of them did. And then Irv started the Weekend Garden with me in 85. But I guess it was Tony that came in every once a month, and then maybe Irv did some too. But Paul McKenzie, before he retired, was doing something up in Henderson, a station that carried NCN News. Johnny does a spot on Fridays. I don't think it's every week. The show's on every week. Rufus and I have been on that show at the Roxborough station, Brother Bradshaw and Rob. And then who else has done stuff. I don't think Colby down in Nash County has done stuff. He doesn't have time to do anything except deal with all those kids he's got.
Right.
So
well, the Life in Our the Life in Our Gardens program is not just me and Lee County. They're really generous because the radio station has a very wide listenership, and they have a station in Wilson. So they have the Harnett County agent, Selena McCoy, me and Lee County, and then they also have Matt Jones and Moore County. And then they have a couple other people who spot in. And so each of us have one day a week where we get, you know, we have like a minute and it runs four times a day. But we're always talking about gardening or cooking or something going on with a farm.
Great.
We're so grateful.
That's great radio programming to me. But that's, you know, it's old fashioned stuff. But that's what this show is. And I think that's why it's.
I'm recalling.
Successful
years ago, Miss Johnson's boarding house, and I would eat there a lot behind the governor's mansion.
This is where highfalutin. It sounds like.
Yeah, but
this
house.
Is a real. This is on Person Street near the governor's mansion.
And Miss Johnson would put out
Blunt Street.
At least three meats, four vegetables, and Rick Hendrick used to eat there when he was working for a car dealership. But I lit the WPTF Farm Hour.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Oh, it was so wonderful. Such a great voice.
That was on forever.
That's delightful.
Yeah. On up until the 80s,
right.
I guess. And Johnny Hood was the last host of that. But when I came to PTF, it was Wally Ausley.
Absolutely. And, you know, we still have number one industry in North Carolina is agriculture,
yeah.
Of course it is.
Absolutely. And I wish you'd bring it back. And by the way, aren't we going down to Sanford to visit?
Next week. Oh, we just can't get enough of Amanda Wilkins.
I don't think it's next week. I think it's in September.
Has it been moved?
It has been moved. Yep, it's going to be September 21st. It was supposed to be next week, and unfortunately, Meredith Favre is going. She's got a wedding next week it's not her wedding. It's a friend of hers wedding. And she wants to make sure that she's on the radio too. So, we were supposed to be on next week, but it is actually in September.
Okay. Does everybody know about it?
Verify, right?
Does everybody know about that?
That is between Meredith and Sophie, as far as I know.
Don't pick me up next week.
I'm not going to pick you up at 6:45.
If you do that, then you get to go to Yarborough's.
Yeah.
Actually, you can still come see me at the farmer's market because I'm running the farmer's market next week in Sanford.
Okay.
I'm going to be the stand-in market manager for the Sanford Farmer's Market next
week. All right.
Let me tell you about a great event. I went about 3 weeks ago to the North Carolina Association of County Commissioners.
Oh.
And I got on the escalator, got to the top of the convention center there in Winston-Salem, and the first person I saw was Mart.
Mart Bumgardner.
Yes, and the whole everybody, they had maybe 20 or 30 Extension Service people who were there being guides, being greeters.
Oh.
It was fantastic. But that was just such an amazing thing to get to the top of the elevator. And there was Mart.
I do love Mart Bumgardner.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, who doesn't?
Right. The colonel.
I'm sure some of his troops didn't like him very much, but it was because he was yelling at him.
Yeah,
he's kind of an overpowering figure.
He's
too.
A very formidable physical.
Can you imagine?
Presence.
Can you imagine him when he was in really good shape?
Oh, and toting a gun and a knife.
Oof! Woo. Yep. Formidable. Even more so.
Beth, is that right? Beth is with us right now. Good morning, Beth.
Good morning. Beautiful day.
Beautiful day. How can we help you?
I want to give a warning to all Johnson and Wake County residents. I'm a landscaper, and literally overnight we saw part of a lawn disappear due to the army worms.
You know, there's been a lot in the news about that. I've heard about it
horrible.
Around the Charlotte area, but it's you know, it's really all over the state.
It is.
Carried in, they said, by Tropical Storm Debbie. Yes. Brought the moth in by the wind. And we were on a lawn yesterday. They're meaty, really meaty caterpillars with two yellow stripes down their back. And we literally saw them in a yard. And they're saying at night, if you have floodlights, to turn them off because they're attracted by the light. And literally overnight, they destroyed a section of a yard. So I'm just warning everyone, there's an insecticidal treatment you can get or put soapy water on the lawn, and that kind of deters them. But they're really bad.
Did they destroy the grass?
Really bad.
Did they eat it all?
They eat it really fast.
They do. Yeah.
Really fast.
I mean, they get on those little worms, caterpillars, they get on there and just... Just munch away.
Well, I want to bring them into my silt grass.
Yeah.
Do they like stilt grass?
I wish they did. I've not heard of them eating stilt grass. That's usually they congregate on turf grasses. They're
gourmets.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
more.
We have a lot of great turf in Central North Carolina, or in Piedmont and Central North Carolina.
Right. We're
they
seeing
also
them
like
more in fescue. The fescue lawn.
Yes.
Only one Bermuda lawn, but they seem to be really attacking the fescue lawns, which can be repairable come fall, right? Aerating and seeding,
right.
Which the timing is good, but they're just really bad this year.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there, Beth. They've been blown in by the hurricane is what we suspect, because the timing is too good. And fall army worms do not overwinter in North Carolina. The turf files at NC State has put out a bulletin, and so has the corn folks have put out a bulletin as well, because they're kind of their quote-unquote host plant are things in the grass family, Poaceae, which corn is as well. But most homeowners are going to see it in their turf. And depending on where you're at, you know, fescue is succulent to most things, army worms and everything else. There's not a lot of chemicals that they have in them, and there's a lot of really nice succulent leaves to eat, but they do feed on a lot of our turf grasses, and if people have been taking good care of their turf, they've grown something that the moths, caterpillars want to eat. The kind of the treatment, though, you know, you definitely need to be scouting your lawn this time of year, and if you notice some little tiny patch of what looks like the grass dying, it's probably the caterpillars. But if you're going to treat, you know, you either need to treat when they're young. The recommendation from Turf Files is that once they actually reach a certain size, the insecticides that are recommended for treatment aren't as effective. So once they get kind of meaty and juicy and bulky, you're going to have less efficacy with the chemical that you use. So really catching them when they're small and when there's only a few of them is really where you need to be to treat them. Unfortunately, it's pyrethroids and, our neonicotinoids that are recommended primarily. But if you pre-treat Again, if you pre-treat, those chemicals will also kill pretty much anything that's going to eat that turf. So, you know, you have to kind of do a cost-benefit analysis. If you're getting turf established, it might be worth doing a preemptive treatment. But honestly, these caterpillars are only feeding for about a week, and then they're pupating and going away. So if you can tolerate them and just make sure that your turf is healthy, a lot of times it looks shocking, but the turf will recover.
Well, you mentioned
that's good,
crops.
Good news. That's good advice.
Do farmers have anything to worry about? Amanda, you mentioned the corn.
Honestly, armyworms are the least of the worries for people growing corn this year. It's been a crop loss for corn this year. But this would be the year, if there was a year, that armyworms would be an issue in that crop. But I don't think at this point. I think most our corn farmers are pretty much looking at a crop loss.
Our landscape friend, ma'am, where do you work? You're a landscaper. What?
Yes, I've been in business for 24 years.
Well, I'll tell you, it's always an honor for us when a landscaper takes somebody who knows their stuff takes the time to call us. That's really nice, and the fact that you listen.
Yeah,
that's
it's just so alarming. It's just sad to see these beautiful yards literally just disintegrate overnight. Yeah. I mean, it was alarming to me.
Yeah, it is. It's shocking. And you know, that's a good thing. I mean, landscapers, I love talking to folks who work in gardens and who are landscapers, because, you know, you guys are literally boots on the ground and helping your clients observe their landscapes. And that's really the first line of defense for any kind of pest or disease, is you need to be observing your landscape and understanding and noticing those pattern changes and, you know, those shifts in performance. And that's really how you can get ahead of these issues. It always breaks my heart when I get that phone call that I wish somebody had called me a week or two before, when we could have actually done something about it. So, you know, it's wonderful that you're, you know, working with your clients to observe these issues and then help guide them on best practice. Now, did you say you had a question? I'm sorry.
Yes. So this fall, we're going to be putting some fescue sod down, and I'm really, you know, I don't know how long these armyworms are going to be around here, and I'm a little worried. You know, is there any treatment that I should do?
Yeah, we have about 15 seconds.
There is.
Investment?
Yeah, so check out Turf Files at NC State University. They have a like how-to guide on treatment for fall armyworms, and they do have in the Ag Chem manual that's linked there. They have a list of recommendations for chemicals that you can pre-treat your fescue lawn with.
Beth, thanks so much, and don't be a stranger.
I won't, and you guys are wonderful. Love you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Beth.
We'll talk to you soon. All right, you're listening to The Weekend Gardener. We're at the State Farmers Market in Raleigh. We're back at WPTF, the State Farmers Market in Raleigh. Mike Rayleigh here, along with Rufus Edmonston. Amanda Wilkins is Extension Agent.
Bratcher. Amanda Bratcher.
Dead gum. Bratcher.
Yep. Yeah, I know, man. Those name changes. Bratcher.
Okay, well, that's easier.
Like catcher, but with a BR.
Amanda.
A whole Bratcher of collard greens.
Amanda Wilkins Bratcher.
Oh, I do like that. Oh, I'm going to remember that.
Amanda Wilkins Bratcher.
There you go. I do put that on my email because.
Yeah. Some people will know you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Amanda Bratcher is with us here. How's your husband?
He's doing well. He's doing well. He's keeping Daphne this morning.
How's Daphne doing?
She is 4 months old and
beautiful
she is
child.
Absolutely wonderful. Yeah. She is just a smiley girl.
So how has she changed?
Oh, my gosh. Like, she changes every day. It's so amazing to see.
I like
see.
It when they start acting like they want to talk. I mean, they're.
Yes. She is a. Ah, bah, 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 bah.
Yeah.
And she loves to smile.
They're saying something.
She loves smiling. And she loves our walks around the garden. She's not afraid of bees and animals. And we have a 100-pound chocolate lab named Bowie. And Bowie,
he's very protective, isn't he?
He is. And last night for the first time, we were laying on the floor doing our little tummy time, and he just kind of like subtly like rolled over and put his head right on her. I mean, I was like, okay.
Aww.
And he just she was fine with it, and he licked her.
That's
licked
a
her,
heavy old her. Head, isn't it?
It was a heavy head, and I was like, okay, but she was not bothered at all. I was like, man, that is so cool. You
yeah,
know?
How about that?
Yeah.
How nice.
Yeah, we're very proud of it.
919-860-9783, 919-860-WPTF. Before we take a call, Rufus Rubin said he enjoyed seeing and hearing Rufus on WGHP in High Point, you know, the Triad TV station, last Sunday night. They ran an interview with you.
Oh, yes, I'm looking forward to seeing that. You always wonder if you fouled up or didn't, or you didn't.
Well, it must have been good because Rubin liked it.
Well, thank you, Rubin.
I don't know. That's not on our system, our cable system and streaming system. So we
mentioned gardening.
I do have the app for WGHP. I'll have Chef Fox 8 in High Point. Hmm. I'll have to figure that out.
Yeah, we talked about Bob Buckley brought up. He said you're quite a gardener. I hear. And so we had a good time talking about the weekend gardener and growing up on a farm, and I enjoyed the show.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure a lot. You should do more of that.
Please send that app to Cheryl, so I can watch it.
Well, I don't know if it's on there or not. I gotta figure out if it is, and if so, I will remind her of it. I'm sure she. It's easy to find. There's Fox News, Fox 8 News. At any rate, let me check, see if we got any more callers on there. Not right now, so we can talk about, look at all these plants that John brought. I'm overwhelmed. And you brought some things, too. You holding a bouquet.
Yes.
There, so you.
I learned from Nelsa Cox to bring some plants to the radio station. No, these are things that were flowering in my yard, and this weekend is the Great Southeast Pollinator Census. It was only yesterday and today.
Well, it was good timing to get you on that around that time.
Well, I'm so excited to talk to folks about it because it's a really easy citizen science project that we work with the University of Georgia Extension with. And so anywhere in North Carolina, if you've got 15 minutes to observe a plant that's got insect pollinators visiting it, you sit there for 15 minutes. There's a data sheet that's on the Great Southeast Pollinator website. And all you're counting is the different types of insects. They've got pictures, and you just tally how many times they land on the plant. And then after 15 minutes, you put your data on the website, and then you're good to go. But you can do it as many times as you want throughout the weekend. So yesterday, I was at the Pollinator Haven Garden, and I observed three plants over the course of an hour, and I don't know, I had this like moment of zen. The weather's so gorgeous in Central North Carolina today, I can't believe it, but I was watching a blazing star, and it was just this one little silver spot butterfly and a couple other like little flies, but there were like things that I would have noticed that butterfly, but there were things coming and going on that blazing star that I would have never noticed if I hadn't been just sitting there watching and waiting to see what visited it. And we had the Extension Master Gardener volunteers out there in the morning, and I know that one of them observed a plant that only is open in the morning. And by the time I got back in the afternoon, there were no flowers open. So, you know, that seasonality and how, like, different insect pollinators change visiting the same plant throughout the day is really fascinating to watch. And it's very cool. We did this last year. I worked with the extension specialist in UGA to bring it to North Carolina. And we're doing it again this year. And this year, across the state of North Carolina, there are Extension Master Gardener groups that are hosting events throughout yesterday and today to just get folks to like stop and wait for 15 minutes and observe these plants. So these are some of the ones that I'm going to be looking at from my yard, the mountain mint, our oxeye daisies.
Does it have a minty fragrance?
Oh yes, it's like the best.
Of course it is. It's mountain mint.
There you go.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I love that smell.
Did your mama grow this?
Oh, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Along the creek. Mm. It grows along the creek bank too.
We have four species at the Pollinator Haven Garden, and there's about a dozen of them across the southeastern United States. And they're very, it was interesting, I was there's a little messenger group that's across the Southeast, because people in North Carolina, Georgia, South Carolina, and Florida, it's only available in those four states. But there were some folks who were commenting on, even looking at, this is in the genus Pycnanthemum, looking at the different species of plant, the different types of insects that visit it. So one species favored a bunch of wasps, while the other species favored bees and flies, and wasps rarely visit it. So even the same, you know, the same genus of plants, different insects favored them, and we're only like able to make that observation by sitting there and watching it. So this data is really cool, though, because it's a citizen science project. So you don't have to know insects to do it. The data sheet is super simple. Like, is it a bee? Is it a wasp? Is it a fly? Such like that. But then it becomes into this big data set, and they've actually already used part of that data to start writing research papers. And that's the goal, is to be able to take a snapshot in time and look at a whole geographic area to understand what insects are out there, what insects prefer, what plants are flowering. And the goal is to keep doing this into the future so we can see these trends through time across space and time and geography.
I see there, Amanda, what I call my chandelier butterfly bush.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I did a little experiment to cut off when the blooms were spent.
Mm-hmm.
I cut it off up to the next leaf, mm-hmm. and a little bit of growth will come back.
Oh, yeah. This is Buddleia lindheimeri. Or Lindleyana, I'm sorry. Lindleyana, I'm sorry. I'm thinking gar lindheimeri. But... yeah, Buddleia lindleyana. This is a piece of a plant I got from Tony Avent at Juniper Level, and it's a pretty plant. I'm not gonna lie, but it's kind of a, I don't know. It's not the best landscape plant, but I will say, so if you go to Juniper Level Botanic Garden, some of the new Buddleia varieties like Grand Cascade and those larger purple panicled ones are hybrids.
Ooh.
With lindleyana and Davidii, and so you get these really long arching, you know, panicles.
So are they looking more like hydrangeas now?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah, man.
Nice.
Grand Cascade is one of my
especially
favorites.
In purple,
and it doesn't run, it doesn't seed around, and it's just a great performer. And it's one of the ones that if you can cut the old spent flowers off of it, it will just put out blooms and blooms and blooms. We used to cut the Buddleias two or three times a summer at Juniper Level, and yeah, we'd get flowers.
Well, I'd like
time.
To go around, Amanda, and see which one of the limbs has the longest chandelier. And I measured one the other day that went almost 3.5 feet.
Wow.
Now that the old fashioned one I have is more like a tree, mm-hmm. and I have to keep it trimmed. It does sprout up in
yes.
other places.
Yeah, it's a runner.
Oh, that is so great.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Uh-huh. And it does look like that. That is not a marketing photo. In fact, that one doesn't look nearly as good as the one at Juniper Level.
Are they selling those around here anywhere?
Yeah, Tony sells them.
Okay, so,
he sells
yeah,
them
Tony.
At Plant Delights. And I see him occasionally at the nurseries.
So he's he'll have a fall open house.
Yep, mid-September.
Yeah.
Second and third,
oh,
or the,
cool.
the week after Labor Day,
but
two weekends after Labor
he gets
Day.
He's so overwhelmed out there. He's got so much stuff. And then things
yeah.
that, you know, then the botanical gardens that you can walk through.
Yeah. That is easily one of the largest collections of plants in the United States. Now, it's hard to compare plant collections, but I feel very confident in saying it's in the top five in terms of diversity, even competing with some of the larger arboreta like Harvard and the Arnold Arboretum, U.S. Botanic Garden.
Wow.
Chicago Botanic
that's
Garden.
That's really something.
Well, you know, when you have drifts of one, it's really easy to have a lot of diversity.
Well, that's true. That's something he preaches and feels very strongly about.
Yeah, although I will say, you know, Tony, you know, if in the older parts of the garden around kind of the original two houses, He definitely has that drift of one mentality, but his wife and him have their newer house is adjacent to the parking lot. It's not open to the public. And sometimes when they're doing fundraisers, they'll open it up. But his wife has influenced him in terms of, like, increasing these drifts of plants. So larger, massive.
Well, I mean, you can really make a splash with color.
Yes, and that landscape certainly exhibits that. And so they're working.
Did he pout? I don't want to do that.
Well, I think actually he, you know, Tony, and this is one of the things I do admire about Tony. He recognizes when he needs to change in some of his habits sometimes, and that he.
My wife would wish that I would change, and I'm not very good about that.
I'm shrinking up into nothing. Need,
oh no! Well,
don't say that, Amanda.
I'm resolute.
Well, he's. I'm not saying that he's not resolute, but in that case. You know, I think that they recognized, especially for entertaining people and for demonstrating the use
aesthetics.
Of the landscape, that really it really makes a huge impact. And the plants that Tony gets to trial and use in his landscapes are so amazing. So, you know, I think he's really noticed that putting them in larger masses really does make a much bigger impact. And that landscape over there is very different than the kind of original garden spaces. So I really do miss working in the garden because it's a very unique place, as all botanic gardens are. Each one has its kind of own sense of place.
Yeah.
So I'm obviously always encouraging folks to visit botanic gardens because it's a great way to gain perspective on gardening. And you can always learn something and bring something home to yourself and also see how the same plant maybe performs in a different place.
Well, Amanda, let me ask you if you've ever visited one of my favorite.
Ooh.
Coker Arboretum at Chapel Hill. Now, I want to bring that up for all you wonderful state people. But I used to love to walk through the Coker Arboretum and have a bench there. And every time Linda and I visit, some guy is sitting there studying on the bench.
Well, that's wonderful.
And I'm glad that he's taking his time getting out of Carolina because... This is about the eighth year that I've seen him on our bench.
Are you sure he's not a statue or something? I mean, you know, like the Doc Watson one in Boone? Sitting there?
It might be.
It might be a professor. You can hope that it's a professor. Or maybe it's a blessed PhD.
You ever talk to him?
Who can't finish.
Yes.
Okay, well, he's real then.
I one time said, I had to sort of see if my name was still on there. And it was
told him to move his fanny?
The copper had turned. We could barely make it out. And I said, well, that's sort of my wife's name on there. And he said, well, what if I love this bench?
Uh-huh. Oh. Hope he doesn't take it with him sometime.
Yeah.
Seems to like it a lot.
I do love the Coker. They, I think that they had just renovated. They've done a lot of work there because they've noticed that.
Yeah, they've been renovating the arbor.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of hated that. I mean, I recognize when you're managing landscape, you have to do that. But, man, that trumpet vine that used to be on there, ugh, it's one of my favorite things to look at when I drove through UNC Chapel Hill.
Well, they had the dreaded, I'm not even going to say the word, but it was the tame kind when I was there, not trumpet vine, back in 1959-63, they had some wisteria that was manageable.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the Coker, I know that they've been trying to bring it in more alignment with the mission of the North Carolina Botanical Garden
right.
because it's managed by the North Carolina Botanical Garden.
Right.
And they've also, I think, because of the development around there, they had some drainage issues. There's a lot of water that moves to that landscape, so they've had to do some renovation to manage
right.
that space.
And, a lot of hills in Chapel Hill.
But it's beautiful.
It is.
Walking through there. Unique.
It is.
Well, I ever tell Amanda this story or not? One time I think I did on the radio, when I was Attorney General, I got a call from one of the founding fathers of the big arboretum at Chapel Hill. I can't remember his name. And he said, I want to grow some marijuana.
A professor at Carolina.
That professor that ran the arboretum. And I said, well, I will give you permission, but keep the students away from it. So
whatever happened to him?
The Attorney General gave the professor permission to grow some marijuana as a
teaching
experiment,
yeah.
right?
A teaching thing.
Yeah.
I don't know whether they still do that or not.
I don't know. All right, well, you're listening to The Weekend Gardener on WPTF. We're at the State Farmers Market in Raleigh, bustling this morning, early this morning even. Lots of people out here and lots of things to do and see and eat. All right, we'll take a break, be back very quickly and talk more, and then we'll be here for a couple of hours more. The Weekend Gardener. All right, we're back on WPTF with Weekend Gardener. Mike Rayley here. Rufus was here.
Yeah,
he's only doing an hour now, I guess.
That's right, I guess.
No, he's somewhere. Yeah, taking calls. You know, all the pollen, then the heat, then it's always something with your car, and you know the heat has really been bad this summer for a lot of things, including the AC on your car and the filters, even the wiper blades and things. You need to get all of that checked and then some. At King's Auto Service, they've been in business since 1946. And Dean Bailey has owned it for a good chunk of that time. One of the smartest people I know, and he just happens to be a mechanic, but a darn good one. And you can get a early fall, late summer checkup for all of your car. You know, cost you a couple of bucks, but I recommend that if you haven't had that done for a while. At least get the belts and hoses, things like that, check the brakes, the tires. It's so vital for any car and the safety. And by golly, you want to be safe. You don't want to break down on a car. If you have a hybrid vehicle, a lot of people do. Certified hybrid technicians at King's Auto Service. They have it all. Drop by King's, 1039 Northwest Street in downtown Raleigh, and at kingautomotive.net. We'll be back from the State Farmers Market in Raleigh.